Well, hey, good to have all of you guys here, and welcome to those joining us from our Vandalia campus. Everybody is driven by something. Every life, every person is driven by something. Some people are driven by their career. Some of us are driven by our possessions, the desire to acquire. You know, if I could just have a little bit more, that would be great. Some of us are driven by guilt. Some of us are driven by insecurities, by fear, by worry, anxiety in our lives. Some of us are driven by anger. Some of us are driven by bitterness. That anger sets in and it turns into bitterness in our lives. Some of us are driven by our past. We live our lives just kind of running from our past. And yet I believe that God wants every single individual living their lives driven by His plan, driven by His purpose for their life. And it is that place, living driven by Him, where we are going to find a life of significance. You see, if you are here, if you're alive, if you're breathing, your heart is beating, you're not an accident. Your parents, they may not have planned you, okay? But God did. And He not only planned you, but He designed you, shaped you, made you for a purpose. Now, every one of us, all of us live at one of three levels in life. You can jot this down if you want to on your outline. There are three levels of living that we all live at. The first, the lowest level that many people live at is survival, the survival level. Many people, in fact, possibly most people, live on this level right here in the survival mode. They're just making it. They're just kind of there. They're just kind of existing. Not really living life. They're just existing. They're punching a clock. They're putting in their time. They're just waiting for the weekend. They get up every day, go to work, come home, eat a bite, watch television, go to bed, get up, go to work, eat a bite, come home, eat a bite, you know, watch some television. And they just do the same thing over and over. And all they have in their life to look forward to is just the weekend, and then retirement, and we die. And yet many people, the truth of the matter is, probably a good number of you here, in all honesty, are living at that level right there. You are just making it. You're just surviving. Some of you, though, you're living at the next level up, just a little bit higher, the second level. The second level would be success. You're living at the success level. Things are going well for you in your life. I mean, you may not have everything that you would want and all that, but things are going well. You live a comfortable life. You probably have a house, a car, at least an apartment. You're moving in the right direction. A good job that you have is providing for you. People look at your life and they go, man, you've got it together. You got things going for you. I mean, everything isn't perfect, but it's going well. You're able to enjoy a lot of the little pleasures of life. You know, you can go get ice cream. Ha! Anytime that you want to, you can go. Isn't that fun? That's so cool. You know, you can do that. You get to go to an occasional Cardinals game. Whoa, this is awesome. You know, you get to go to Six Flags every so often. You know, you get to go on vacation one time a year or twice a year or whatever it is that you get to go. And obviously there's some people a little more successful than other people. But what's interesting is a lot of you who are living at that level, you're successful. And yet internally, you live your life wondering, well, if I am so successful, then why do I feel so unfulfilled? If I'm so successful, why is there a hole in my heart? Why do I feel empty? And the answer to that question is because success never ultimately satisfies. What we really long for in life, we think that what we're longing for is success. What we are really longing for is significance. And significance is the third level of living. Significance is when you know why you're here on this earth. You know that your life matters. You know that what you're doing with your life, that it has purpose. So the big question becomes, how do I move from just this survival level, or even just making it, or even from the success level, how do I move from that level of living to the significance level? And that's what we've been talking about. So let me go back. Let me just kind of review where we've been in this series. First week, we said that significance comes from a life centered in God and His will. Now, everybody's life is centered in something or someone. Some of our lives are centered in the things that drive our life, or our life is centered in our career. Our life is centered in positions. Maybe it's centered in the pursuit of pleasure. Maybe it's centered in some kind of recreational activity, working out or whatever it is for us. It may be centered in some relationship, maybe in our family. Whatever it is, and it's not, please don't hear that there's anything wrong with any of those things. They're not, those are good things. They just don't make a good center for your life. They're not a strong enough foundation or anchor to really center and build your life on. What we need to have our life centered on, if we're going to find significance in our life, is we need to center our life in God and in His will. And he said, that's the first piece that we have got to get in place in our life. And then we said, there's a second piece that's very important, and that is a second C, not just what's going to be a center of life, but the second C is our character. Our character. And we said, we need to slow down, and we need to allow Jesus to shape our character, because God is a lot more concerned about who we are and who we're becoming, who we're going to be, than what we're doing. I mean, we get all concerned and real bent out of shape and everything about what we're going to do with our life. God is a lot more concerned about who we are. And so we need to slow down, and we need to allow. In fact, we need to do more than just allow. We need to invite Jesus to go molding and shaping our character to become more like the character of Jesus Christ. Because part of God's very purpose for our lives is that we go becoming more and more and more like Jesus. That we go reflecting the character of Jesus. So that's all review. Okay, so once we get those two key pieces, and we've had a couple follow-up messages from outside speakers that have come in and just added to that foundational level. What are we going to center our lives in? What's going to be the character of our life? Once we get those two pieces in place, then we need to move to the third level, because God not only cares, I mean, He cares a lot more about our character, about who we're going to be, but He does care about what we're going to do. And so a third C that we're going to talk about is our contribution. What is the contribution of our life going to be? And fortunately, Scripture has a lot to tell us, some very, very powerful, clear insights on what our contribution needs to be. So if you have your Bible today, I hope you do, either on your phone or with you, that you will turn to Romans chapter 12, because this is such a powerful, powerful passage, section of Scripture. So Romans chapter 12, very practical section. We're going to pick up in verse 1. Look at this. It says, therefore, this is the Apostle Paul. He writes this letter to the Christians in Rome. And he says, therefore, I urge you. And then that word urge is saying, I beg of you, I plead with you. What he's trying to do right here, right off that in this chapter, is he is trying to get their attention. He's trying to, in essence, say, what I'm getting ready to tell you, this is a big deal right here. This is really big. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, because of God's breathtaking love for you, because he allowed his son Jesus to come into this world, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins, to offer you the gift of forgiveness. Whoa, that's so amazing. To offer you a gift of life, the gift of joy, the gift of inner peace, the gift of wholeness. Because of that, I urge you, because of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, look at this, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, when you really look at this and you think about this, this is kind of gross. You see, in those days, what was very common at that time was to offer animal sacrifices to God. They would actually take an animal, like a sheep, a lamb, they would slaughter it, they would kill it, and then They would let it bleed out, and they would put it on an altar, kind of a fire pit that they burn, and they would actually burn that as an offering, a sacrifice to God. In essence, saying, God, as a result of this, what this represented was my devotion to God. And what the Apostle Paul is telling him right here, and what he's telling us right here, is what God wants is not so much an animal for you to sacrifice. Don't worry about that. You don't have to go out and do that. But what he wants is for you to offer your life, your very life, as a living sacrifice to God. See, that's what God really wants. He wants us to offer ourselves fully, as completely as we can, to Him. More than religious rituals or ceremonies. More than just legalistically showing up at church every weekend. More than going through the motions, singing praise songs to God, as good as that may be, and reading our Bible 30 minutes a day. What God wants is us. What He wants is for us to offer ourselves fully to Him, to say, God, here's my life. My hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my tongue, God, my heart, my brain, my lungs, God, all of me, best I know how, my dreams, my aspirations, God, my talents, God, my resources, everything I have, I'm offering it to you, I'm surrendering, I am yielding it to you, God, best I know how. God, here it is. It's yours. That's God's expectation of those of us who are followers of His. Then we just say, God, here, my life is yours. And as counterintuitive as it may be for some of us to do that, to really let go of our life and say, God, here it is, all of my life, it's yours. This is critical on the path to a life of significance. It goes on in verse 2, Romans 12. And he goes on and says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Look at that. God's basically saying, don't be like everybody else around you. And you know what's so interesting and kind of funny is, isn't that our main excuse when it comes to doing things? I mean, we're going to do something and we're not sure we really should be doing it or not. Our just almost immediate reaction, one of the things we hear from our kids, but we do it too, is, hey, everybody's doing it. Everybody cuts corners, everybody twists the truth, everybody runs around their wife, or everybody does this, everybody's buying this stuff, to which God would say, so what? God would say, I don't want you to be like everybody else. So that whole excuse, that's just a wash. You don't need to be like everybody else. I mean, think about what's the pattern of this world when it comes to trying to find a life of significance. It's all about self-gratification, isn't it? And when people think about a life of significance, they think about, what's going to make me feel good? What's going to make me happy? What's going to allow me to get to the next level in my life? It's all about me, my dreams, my goals, my aspirations, my agenda. But as we're going to see, God says that is not where you're ultimately going to find a life of significance. That's not where it's found. It's found somewhere else. So he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And we renew our mind by being with Jesus, by getting to know Jesus, by reading God's word, scripture, to expose ourselves to Jesus, to His ways, to His truths, to His principles, to the example of how He lived His life. And then it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we're going to figure out what God's will is, what God's plan and purpose is for our life, we're going to figure out how to live lives of significance. It all starts with offering ourselves fully and completely to God, including how we're going to use our time and our abilities and our talents and our strengths. It starts by me centering my life in God. All that's the foundation. We've basically been there. But it's reiterating that. And then it goes on in this passage of Scripture, and it gives us another really big piece to living a life of significance. It goes on in verse 3 and says, "For by the grace given me," he says, "I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Don't get all puffed up with pride thinking that you're better than you really are. "But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." In other words, he's saying evaluate yourself based on the amount of faith that God has given you. And then he gives us a visual. He kind of gives us an illustration in verse 4. It says, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function." Our body, okay, our physical body has different members. I mean, we've got fingers and hands and toes and nose and eyes and ears and all these different members that don't all have the same function. Okay? They don't all do the same thing, but they're all important. So he's using this as an illustration, as an example. They're all interdependent. In verse 5, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs," get this, "to all the others." He's saying that as Christians, there's a sense in which we are interconnected as a body. Part of it, because he says, when you're a Christian, you become a part of the body of Christ, which is a church. And so there's a sense in which we are interconnected. We all have different functions, right? We all have different strengths. I mean, we all have different gifts and roles, but we're all important. This is so key. So don't miss this. If we're going to live lives of significance, we will never find significance independently on our own. Now, in America, I mean, our culture is just so individualistic. I mean, we think we can do everything on our own. But significance, what it's saying right here, is that significance is found as we begin to function as a team, as we begin to function as a body. Significance comes from working, functioning, serving in tandem, in conjunction with others. What's getting at is we will never find true significance independently. You need to let that sink in. Verse 6, it goes on. "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, speaking God's truth boldly and clearly, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, helping others, typically more of a behind-the-scenes type role, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern or lead diligently. If it is showing mercy, kind of offering love and care, maybe a listening ear to people who've been through heartbreak, through challenges in their life, let him do it cheerfully." What it's getting at is the fact that we need to use our gifts, our talents, our strengths, the ones that God himself has given us, not just on ourselves, okay? Not just to make a bajillion, quadrillion dollars for ourselves, not just to accomplish whatever it is that we're wanting to accomplish with our lives, but we need to use the gifts, the talents, the strengths that God has given us in tandem, in sync. It's saying this past scripture with other Christians to build up the body of Christ, which is the church. We need to be a part of what God is doing. What we need to do is we need to be a part of God's redemptive plan, his redemptive cause. What we need to be a part of is making our world a better place. You see, if I'm going to make my life count, if I'm going to live a life of significance, I need to understand that I have been designed. We need to understand that we have been shaped by God as believers to take the talents and the gifts that he's given us and to use them in tandem, in conjunction. He's designed us this way to work in conjunction with other Christians, because together, we can accomplish more than we can ever accomplish on our own, regardless of how talented, regardless of how gifted we may be. And what it's getting at right here is this is where you are going to find a life of significance. You were designed and you were shaped. You were put on this earth not just to watch television, okay? Not just to eat your favorite food and pig out. Not to just to make a bunch of money or do whatever it is that you want to do. Not just to take up space. You were put on this earth for a purpose. For a purpose. To be a part of what God is doing, to leave this world a better place. You were shaped by God, designed by God for that. So if we were shaped to make a difference, then we need to figure out what our God-given shape is. Now, those of you who have been around here for a while, you've probably heard us talk before about these five elements that comprise our shape, our God-given shape. And we use that word shape, S-H-A-P-E, as an acrostic for our shape. So if God has shaped us for a purpose to make a difference in our world, man, we need to figure out what our shape really is. It's critical that we figure that out so we can make the contribution that God has us, wants us to make, because that is where we are going to find a life of significance. So I'm going to take the majority of the rest of the time that we have here to talk about what our shape is and help you understand your shape and to help you begin to process that in your life. So the S in shape stands for spiritual gifts. It stands for spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities that God gives you the moment that you become a believer, the moment that you make that decision to receive Christ, establish a relationship with God, put your faith, your trust in Him. God gives you at least one spiritual gift. Typically, He actually gives you two or three, multiple spiritual gifts, but at least one spiritual gift. This is a divine supernatural enablement that God gives you to fulfill the purpose that He has for your life. Now, let me be really honest here, though. Some of you are here and you don't have a spiritual gift because you've never stepped across the line of faith and you never established a relationship with God. You've never made that decision for yourself to put your faith in Jesus and what He did for you on the cross. But when you do, the moment that you open your life up to Jesus, He will give you at least one spiritual gift, a divine enablement to fulfill the purpose for which you were put on this earth. And every Christ follower, every believer, every Christian has at least one. Now, nobody has all the spiritual gifts, okay? That's why we need each other as a church. And these are not gifts that we choose, not like, oh, I want this one, I don't want that one, or I think that's a cool gift. No, these are gifts that God sovereignly, on His own, He determines what each person is going to get. And then it's our responsibility to unwrap and discover and begin to use these gifts that He gives us. Now, there are multiple lists in Scripture, as the one that we just read here in Romans, that lay out what some of these gifts are. But none of those lists in these different letters that were written to different churches, none of them are exactly the same. And so it certainly appears as you look at these, because none of the lists are exhaustive. They're not the same. This is we assume that this is not an exhaustive list. These are just examples of what some of the spiritual gifts are, what some of these spiritual divine enablements are. Sometimes these spiritual gifts are very closely associated to natural abilities that we already have. Like maybe you have just a natural ability to teach or to lead. And if God gives you on top of that the spiritual gift of teaching, or the spiritual gift of leadership, then it's like, man, you are going to teach, you're going to lead on steroids. I mean, you're like turbocharged to lead or to teach or whatever that may be. There are other times where after you receive Christ in your life, after a while, you just begin to realize, wow, I've got this ability that I never realized that I had. That's something that God gave you. Now, some of you received Christ, you didn't even realize you had it, but you do. And so you need to discover what that gift is in your life. Now, most of the time, or when it comes to your spiritual gifts, it's going to reflect an area of your life where you are fruitful. In other words, where there are positive results. So when you're looking at what's your spiritual gifts, what's an area of your life where there are positive results? You see things. Most likely, people are going to affirm you from that. They're going, man, you're good at that. And you're going to tend to feel fulfilled as a result of that spiritual gift in your life. So the way you figure out, well, what's my spiritual gift, it's not taking the test. It's not sitting around pondering. You just need to get involved in doing things, in serving, experimenting, exposing yourself to different opportunities, different areas of ministry, different things that you can do with your life, and then pull back and assess, is that an area where I was fruitful? Is that an area where I found fulfillment? Did people affirm, wow, you're good at that? You see, what happens at times is people kind of become enamored with certain spiritual gifts. They'll see a list like this, what we saw here in Romans. Go, oh, I want that gift right there. I want that one. Like somebody say, well, I would like the gift of teaching. And so they claim that that's their spiritual gift. Now, if you teach and people are falling asleep and they're dozing off and they're like, they're not getting it, they're not motivated, they're not getting greater clarity on what you're teaching, guess what? You probably don't have the gift of teaching, okay? Just a hint there as you're looking for this. So you need to figure out, where are you fruitful? Where are you fulfilled? What are people affirming in your life? You need to figure out, because this is something God has given you, a gift he's given you to use in fulfilling the purpose that he has for your life. That's your spiritual gift. Then the H stands for your heart. Okay, your heart. Now, when we talk about your heart, what we're talking about is what you are passionate about in life, what you love to do. There are certain things in life, have you noticed this? There's certain things, just flip your switch. You get fired up about this. You get excited about certain things. And then there are other things in life, have you noticed this as well, that you get kind of bored by. You couldn't care less. In fact, you don't enjoy some of those things at all. You look at other people, they enjoy them, they get excited about some of these other, but it's not you. Where'd that come from? God. God wired you up. God shaped you that way on purpose. So you need to figure out, what are those things that you are passionate about? What are the things that you love to do? And you need to begin to do those very things. Then the A stands for abilities. Abilities. These are natural abilities that you were given the moment that you were born. And everybody has some natural abilities. And some of you are really good with numbers. I mean, you just kind of breeze through, you know, geometry and algebra and, calculus and functions, elementary functions. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, this is great. You love math and everything. And others of you are like, oh, goodness, just hearing those words, like, gag me with a stick. You know, that's, oh, math, that's awful. You know, some of you are good with words. Some of you, you just have natural abilities. You're good just naturally with people. Some of you aren't that good with people. Some of you have some very natural athletic abilities in your life. Some of you, you're not at all. There's some of you who are mechanically inclined. You just have these mechanical abilities. I mean, you can fix things and stuff. I mean, I'm just awed by people who have those kind of abilities in life. I don't have that ability at all. That's something God gave you. I mean, how many of you are mechanically inclined? Like, you can fix cars, you can make things or fix things. How many of you have that ability? Yeah, I need to meet with you guys after service. I got some things I need done. No, just kidding. Some of you have like just natural abilities in the area of leadership. For example, some of you have natural musical abilities. I mean, you pick up an instrument and just a few days later, I mean, you're playing it. So, yeah, it just blows me away. That's so amazing. Some of you have some incredible voices. I mean, you just sing. It's just amazing. And then some of you are like prison singers. You know, you're always always behind a few bars. You never have the right key. Okay? You didn't keep a tune if they handed it to you in a baggie. Your voice just needs to be cultivated, as in plowed under. That's me, okay? That's me. I can't sing with it, but we have these natural abilities that God has given us. We need to figure out what we're good at, what we love to do, what we like to do, what we have these abilities in, and we need to use them in making a contribution, because that is why God gave you. God is the one who gave you those natural abilities. Then the P stands for personality. Personality. God shaped you by giving you a unique personality. And God loves a variety, doesn't he? I mean, all you have to do is just look around and you see that God loves variety. Now, just to kind of demonstrate how different we all are, I want to give you a little personality quiz here. So here's the first question. Okay, when it comes to swimming, I mean, when you go swimming, do you like to plunge right in, Or do you like to just kind of test the water and then wade in? Okay? How many are here and you like, you when you go swimming, you just like to plunge right in? I see your hand. Vandalia, raise your hand. Okay, yeah. How many of you are here and you like to test the water first and then just kind of wade in? Can I see your hand? Okay, see, I rest my case right there. And typically, plungers are married to waders. And that creates all kinds of fireworks in and of itself, right there. Okay, and then here's another one, a second question related to your personality. How many of you would say, I love to be organized? Can I see your hand? How many of you are lying? Right now. How many of you say, organization cramps my style? Yeah, okay, we've got some of that too. Okay, how about when it comes to change? How many of you would say, you know, I like routines, I like things set up, I like a system, okay? Yeah, good number. How many of you would say, I like variety, I like things to be different? Okay, yeah, and it's not that one is right and one is wrong, okay? We're just different. God just wired us up that way. What about when it comes to being introverted or extroverted? Those of you who are extroverts, I mean, you like to recharge by being around people. That's what charge. You can go from one group of people to another, one party to another. Oh, this is so great. That's what recharge. Who are extroverts that are here? See your hands. Okay. Yeah. Who are you? You recharge. You're an introvert. You recharge by being alone or just with one or two people. You got to pull back. I mean, you can do people, but you kind of like pulling back. That recharges. Can I see your hands? Okay. And then some of you didn't raise your hand. You're an introvert. You don't even like doing this kind of thing. Raise your hand. That's not you at all, okay? I can relate to that too. I'm an introvert. So the whole point, though, here is God has given us all unique personalities that he wants to use, and he gives us all these different personalities to accomplish everything that needs to get done in the world and in the church. He made you that way. So you need to learn to use that, to leverage that, for the purpose that God has for your life. And then the E stands for experiences. And of course, obviously, we all have all kinds of different experiences that God has allowed us to have in our lives. Now, I want to highlight four different kinds of experiences. You may want to jot these down on your outline. First of all, are vocational experiences that you need to pay attention to. What are the jobs that you had? Not just what you're in right now. I mean, you may be a teacher or something right now, but there may have been a time where, say, you were a carpenter. And God may want to use that, even this former experience vocationally that you have in some area of ministry, in some area of the purpose that he has for your life. So what are your vocational experiences? Secondly, what are your educational experiences? Your formal education, schooling, the degrees that you have, as well as the informal education that you have from reading, seminars, classes, different things that you've experienced in your life. So you think through your educational experiences. And then think through, number three, your spiritual experiences, which have to do with retreats, conferences, church experiences, your own devotion life, again, books that you've read, those kind of things. But probably most important of all would be this fourth element that I would encourage you to think through in trying to figure out what your shape is and how God wants to use you, and that is your painful experiences. Your painful experiences. What are those things in your life? Because this is even your pain. God has used those things to shape you. God never wastes a hurt in our lives. And sometimes your greatest ministry comes out of your pain, out of tragedies, out of failures, out of mistakes that we've made in our life. Maybe you were abused at some point in your life. Maybe you had some relationships, a marriage or something that fell apart. Maybe you struggled with addiction in your life. Maybe you had an illness or someone in your family did. God may want to use that in your life. So if we're going to live lives of significance, we need to figure out what our shape, what our God-given shape is. And then in turn, we want to figure this out so that in turn we can figure out where it is that we're going to be most fruitful and most fulfilled when it comes to our contribution. You see, until we start living our lives, until we start living out our God-given shape, not on our own, not just independently doing that, but in tandem, in conjunction with others, until we start doing that, we're always going to be a little frustrated. we're always going to kind of feel like we're a square peg in a round hole. Now, some of you may be thinking, but, you know, as I look at my life, I'm just not really good at anything. I mean, I almost always hear that when I talk to a group about anything like this. I sure you are. I mean, what you're good at, the way that God has shaped you, you know what, it may not be flashy. It may not be glamorous and all sexy and all that kind of stuff, okay? But God has uniquely shaped you. And when you begin to use your unique, God-given shape in the body of Christ with other Christians in conjunction, in tandem with others, you will be amazed at the difference that God can make in and through your life. And you will be amazed at the level of significance that you begin to experience in your life. So here's the bottom line. You can write this down. We'll put it up here on the screen. Significance comes from using our God-given shape in tandem with others to accomplish something none of us can do on our own. Significance comes from using our God-given shape in tandem or in conjunction with others to accomplish something that none of us can do on our own. So here's my challenge to you. Based on what this scripture says, to offer your life, to offer your shape, your God-given shape to God. Say, God, here it is. All that I am, here's my shape. God, I want you to use it to make this world a better place. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I want to be a part of your cause, of what you are doing in the world through your church, through the body of Christ. God, I am offering all of me. I'm offering you my shape. What you need to know is that we need you. And God needs you. If you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, you are a part of the body. The body of Christ himself. You may be a finger, you may be a toe, you may be a knee, an elbow, an eye, an ear, a heart, lung. I don't know what you may be, but you are a part of the body. And you are unique. And without you, without your part of the body, what you need to understand is that we are not whole as a body. When you don't step up and do what you are designed and shaped by God to do, we all miss out. And as a church, as the body of Christ, we can't accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish in our lives. God needs you. We need you to step up. And some of you, you may have thought, oh, you know, they don't need me. Or there aren't opportunities around there. Well, you know, wheels aren't falling off anywhere around here. But we need you. We have opportunities that are available for you to exercise and use your God-given shape in ministry, in tandem, in conjunction with others. I talked about this a couple of months ago. We are going to be starting, within the next few months, a whole new initiative around here. We're starting 3 new house campuses. We're going to go into homes, and we're going to start these campuses with house campus pastors, and we're going to have an adventure. We're going to live stream the service in on Sunday morning, and we're going to have 2 services in homes in 3 different areas. And then a year later, we're hoping that these 3 house campuses will come together to then be the core that allows us to then start another multi-site. Now, we already have people who are stepping in to this new initiative. I mean, this is cutting edge. This is us as a church stepping out in faith and going, man, we're going to trust God and see what God does in this. We have people who are stepping out and doing that. And you know what they're doing is they step into leadership there, and others of you that God is going to call in that area, that's going to leave openings here. And we need people to step in to those openings that are going to come available. We have other opportunities as well. In Vandalia, in the next year, we are hoping to start another service, another opportunity to provide another option. So we don't just say, hey, the only time you can come is at this one time. We need people to step up. So when that opportunity arises, when we move that direction, we're ready to go. Significance comes from using our God-given shape in tandem, in conjunction with others, to do what none of us. It doesn't matter how talented, how gifted you are, how gifted I may be, there are none of us who can do this on our own. We need each other. And the best way to figure out what your shape is not, you know, sitting down under a tree, pondering, wonder what my shape is. The best way to figure out what your shape is to get in the game. To start getting busy doing something, anything. And some of you, as you start trying some things, you get involved in a ministry, you're going to figure out after a few months, I don't think this is me. That's okay, that's fine, that's part of the process of discovering your shape. And so you're going to shift to another area of ministry and figure out, is this it? And it may take you two or three times, and then you're going to find a spot, and you go, this is it. Man, in this spot right here, I am fruitful, I am fulfilled, I am making a difference. God is using me, not just on my own, not individually, but God is using me with others in the body of Christ, in the church, to make a difference in people's lives. People's lives are being transformed. People's lives are being redirected. People are getting their lives back on track. And I'm a part of that. I am contributing to that with my life. And you'll begin to experience the significance in your life. Now, understand, though, that your shape is kind of like a muscle. If we don't use our muscles, what happens? You don't use them, you lose them. You don't use your muscles, you lose your muscles. If you don't use your muscle at all, your muscles actually atrophy. It is as you exercise your muscles, as you use them, the more you exercise them, the stronger they get. These musicians that were up here, the first time they played instruments, they couldn't play like they just played. It didn't matter how talented they were. They couldn't play like they played today. It was as they exercised their shape, they got to where they are today. And the same is true in your life. It's as you exercise your shape that you're going to get stronger and you're going to get greater clarity on where you can serve and do the best in making a difference in the purpose that God has for you and what He wants us doing in this community, in our world, in making this world, through what Christ has done, joining up with Christ, a better place. So before we get away, in just a little bit, we're going to give you a chance to sign up and to be a part of some different areas of ministry where you can serve, you can use the shape that you have, or you can go figure out what your shape is and exercising that so you can serve and make a difference in tandem, in conjunction with others. Now, we'll wrap up and pray, but while the best way to figure out what your shape is by experimenting, by exploring, by getting involved in things, I do want to encourage you this week to continue working on your life mission statement that we've talked about, your personal vision statement or purpose statement we've been talking about. You need to know what your center is going to be, your character. The third C that we're talking about is your contribution. I want you to think through and this week and write out on a sheet of paper, what do you think are your top two or three spiritual gifts? And I want to encourage you to think through your life in 10-year increments and think through, in those increments, what are the things that you've always loved doing, that you're passionate about? What's your heart? Because what you're looking for is a pattern, those things that you've always loved to do. God wants to use those in your life. The same with your abilities. What are the natural abilities? You can look back and you can see throughout your life, those have always been there. What are the personality traits that God wants you to maximize in your life, to be able to make a contribution with that, and then especially to write out what are some of the painful experiences that you've been through in your life that maybe God would want to use for you to encourage or comfort, walk with somebody else in their life. What are those? Here's my concern. My concern is that some of you are selling yourself short. You have so much potential. God shaped you for greatness. Not to function all on your own. I can do it all. No. When you join your greatness, the way that God has shaped you, up with others, and together in tandem, in conjunction with the body of Christ, with other Christ followers, you begin to serve and use those. You'll be amazed at what God can do. And you will be amazed at the significance that you begin to experience in your life. Would you bow your heads with me? most important decision you can make in your life is establish a relationship with God through what Jesus did on the cross. And I hope you've already done that. But if you haven't, right here today, you make that decision to center your life in God by placing your faith in Jesus. You could pray right now. If you're ready, if you mean it in your heart and say, God, I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. Today, I want to center my life in you. I'm putting my faith, my trust in Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. God, I want to receive your gift of forgiveness and love. I want to follow you. And I want to ask all of us to pray and say, God, I want to offer my life, all of me, my shape, the God-given shape, the shape you give me. God, I want to offer it back to you. Say, God, use me. Show me where I need to serve, not just on my own, but in tandem, in conjunction with others, to make a difference, make this world a better place. God, out of gratitude, out of love for what you've done for us, we offer ourselves to you. I thank you for the life of significance that you make available to us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.